The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Brian Fancher with KLMJ Hampton and Shane Vanderhart with the Iowa Torch. Brian, can you start us off with a question for Senator Grassley?
Senator, thanks. I wanted to get your take on the latest with Israel. And what would you like to, I guess what I'm getting at is, how could this conflict come to an end, and what would you like to see after it ends?
Well, it shouldn't surprise you when I'm asked about people that come here in Capitol Hill on this subject to give us their point of view. They'll ask the question something like this: what are you going to do to stop the killing? And I usually try to get them to be realistic about how this thing started. I said, do you realize if Hamas had not invaded Israel, there wouldn't be one person dead today? And so what do you expect a country to do when they're invaded? You expect them to protect their people. It's just like if the thing happened at our southern border, where people there were invading our country, you would expect the United States government to protect the American people. And you wouldn't want people in Israel telling you to stop fighting. And I think the United States should be telling people in Israel to stop fighting. And I don't think we should be like Senator Schumer was doing last week, say you need a new election, get a new leader. We wouldn't want somebody to say to us, even though I don't like Biden's policies, I don't want somebody in Israel telling the American people, you got to get rid of Biden yesterday. You can't even do that under the Constitution, but they could tell us to do that. So I guess the bottom line answer to your question is, I want Hamas destroyed, and I want it done with as little death to civilian population as possible. Shane?
Yes, you indicated support for the TikTok bill that passed the House, I believe it was last week. Could you explain why you support the bill, and how would you address opponents who believe it gives too much power to the federal government, and particularly the executive branch, to make determinations about future companies?
Well, I think that in regard to the last part of your question, the bill tries to answer that by saying we're going to give a period of time for the Supreme Court to have original jurisdiction of this and look at it and make that determination of whether or not it's within the Constitution. I would give you the reason that I think that anything controlled by the Communist Party of China is going to be used to their benefit. I don't know exactly if they were taking stuff from Chuck Grassley, and I don't use TikTok because the federal instruments can't be used for TikTok under ruling by the president, and I think we passed a bill to that extent. Anyway, but if they had information on Chuck Grassley, I can't necessarily say that would compromise national security, but there's obviously a lot of people using TikTok that is going to be a threat to the national security of the United States. And maybe one of the chief things is that people that observe TikTok regularly and study it, they say that when there is criticism of the United States, it gets big play all over TikTok. And if there's any criticism of the Chinese government, it's just played down. In other words, if Chuck Grassley would say something bad about China on TikTok, they wouldn't let it go through. And it seems to me that that is not an unbiased way. And then let's say a lot of people benefit from TikTok, both socially and business-wise. There's plenty of other platforms where they can do their socializing or their business. Brian?
Yeah, Senator, I wanted to get your take now that it's announced Tyson, of course, is going to close the plant in Perry. Do you get any vibes that this is just an isolated situation, or is this something that may be more concerning for agriculture?
Well, it's very concerning to the 342 people that deliver their product there for slaughter. because they're going to have to drive miles further to get it done. And then for the 1,276 people that were working there, I'll take the words of Trump over the weekend and what he was talking about the automobile industry and the unemployment. It's a bloodbath for the city of Perry. It's a bloodbath for each one of the 1,276 people that were earning a living and now unemployed. And I think that that's a serious measure. Now, I'm willing to help any way I can with this. It's primarily going to be the state of Iowa and the community of Perry to overcome this. And if there's anything I can do, I'm happy to do it. But we've got to have a great deal of sympathy for the community of Perry, because this is the largest employer in the district, and it's going to hurt Perry economically, and obviously for each one of the people affected by the unemployment. Shane.
Yes. You stated last week that President Biden's budget offered, quote, false promises and, quote, far-left wish list. What are some of those items, and what kind of a budget do you think would pass Congress?
Well, first of all, let me ask the last part of your question first. And that is, it doesn't matter whether it's a Republican president or a Democrat president. Most presidential budgets are dead on arrival. Now, I hear all sorts of Democrats praising the president's budget. So when I gave an opening statement when we had the director of OMB before our committee last week, and I'm ranking member of the budget committee, I said, if Democrats think this is such a wonderful budget, let's bring it up in the budget committee and process it. They didn't take me up on my offer, and they never will take me up on that offer. So I think that speaks for itself. Now, getting back to the first part of your question, I think I'll just give you one answer. If you want more, I can think of more. But just think, looking 10 years ahead, he's going to add $16 trillion to the national debt. So right now, or next week when I'm traveling Iowa, having my town meetings, people are going to say, what are you going to do about the $33 trillion national debt we have now? And people are upset about it, and legitimately upset about it. Well, then, you know, as time goes on and it builds to $50 trillion, you can see how irresponsible that is. Brian?
Senator, Putin won re-election in the last few days in Russia. How do we deal with him going forward? And can the United States do anything to maybe non-militarily to make him change his ways?
Well, we have put on sanctions. I don't think they've had the effect that we thought 2 years ago they'd have. And we've just put on some more sanctions. And even countries in Europe are putting sanctions on him. I don't know what more you can do than that. But I think dealing with him is a very important situation, because going back 15 years, he said that the breakup of the Soviet Union was the biggest geopolitical disaster of the 20th century. And then several speeches since then, he said, I'm going to reestablish the Russian Empire. So going into Crimea and going into Ukraine, Georgia, a couple other little places down there along the southern part of Russia, he's set out to do that. And the people in the Baltic states that controlled, Russia controlled them, those three countries from 1940 until 1989, they're scared to death. So recreating the Russian Empire means he wants to do the way it was under the Soviet Union, and that includes a lot of countries that are part of NATO, and we don't want him to be able to do that. That's why we want to stop him in Kyiv. It's costing some money to do that. But if he would go into Poland or the Baltic states, that would kick in the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, Article 5, and 30 countries, including the United States, would be at war with Russia. And we don't want that to happen. Shane, this will be the last question.
Okay. We just marked another Sunshine Week. Where are we seeing improvement towards more transparency in governing, and what, in your opinion, needs to be improved?
I think it's getting worse, not better. That ought to be a concern to you journalists, radio, TV, print, whatever the case might be. And you can see that in the longer time it takes to get a FOIA request responded to compared to 10 or 15 years ago. You can see it in my requests for information through letter to various bureaucracies in my oversight work. It's just not very good. And that's why I don't think it's a waste of my time to bring this to the attention of the American people, because transparency brings accountability. And that's what FOIA is all about. That's what journalism should be all about, to keep government honest. In fact, you're kind of the policeman of the political system and that. And then, you know, one thing that I've tried to do to encourage transparency is to encourage whistleblowers. And one of those things that whistleblowers can do is bring false claims. Under the False Claims Act, I got passed almost 40 years ago now. It's brought in $78 billion into the federal treasury. Thank you, Brian and Shane, for being on. Goodbye.
Thank you, Brian and Shane, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.